Merry Christmas, friends. My name's Tom. I'm the pastor here at Sycamore Creek, and tomorrow's a big day, isn't it? We open up presents on Christmas Day, and you think about what is your favorite gift that's brought you the most joy in your life? Now, you got to take out your kids, okay, because I'm not talking about your kids or your marriage or whatever. I brought with me the gift that has brought me the most joy in my life, at least as a kid. Any idea what's underneath this? Can you kind of tell what it's? Yeah, you can kind of see it, can't you? I brought with me my childhood bike. I still have my childhood bike. It was in my dad's garage when my kids started to learn to bike, and so I brought it, and I was like, this is going to be great. It's going to be good fun to have with it. See some of you sort of stretching to see. What color is it? It's orange. It's kind of unique color, right? Boy, when I got this bike, it was absolutely spectacular. It brought me, I could like get a paper route and make money. Because it was orange, I was like the cool kid with the only orange bike. That was awesome. But maybe the biggest joy that it brought me was that it gave me freedom. Do you remember when you first got your bike and you could go further than you had ever gone before? And really what that meant was you could get further away from your parents than you ever could before. I can still ride it, absolutely. Actually, I used to be able to stand up and surf on this thing and stand I don't know how I didn't kill myself as a kid, but I'm not going to try it at 42 because my bones take longer to heal. So when I was in junior high, we lived in a townhouse, and one day when I woke up in the morning, we went out on the front porch where we kept the bikes, and the bike was gone. It had been stolen. My dad likes to refer to himself as the FBI. That is the Family Bureau of Investigation. Does anybody have one of those dads that you can't pull anything over his eyes? So my dad put out these wanted signs. He had a picture of my bike. He was offering $100 to any tips that would lead to the recovery of this bike. I'm not sure my dad had $100 to give to somebody, but he plastered all of the neighborhoods with it, and it turns out that some kid a couple of neighborhoods down had stolen the bike, and guess how it was found? It's orange, right? Like, you can't ride around an orange bike and not get noticed. Which is maybe why when I bought my son a bike, we started out, here's my little one, Sam, with an orange bike, right? Look at that. He's got his game face on. He is ready to go rock and roll. So the bike brought me joy. It was stolen. My joy left me. And what I want to talk to you today about is a joy that can't be stolen, a joy that lasts forever. It's the joy of Christmas. What is the joy of Christmas? Sometimes the answer to that question is right in front of us. Sometimes the answer to any question is right in front of us, and we just can't see it. I wear glasses, and these are my driving glasses, so all of you are nice, crisp, and clear right now. But when I take them off to read, now you all just went fuzzy. You all know this. And of course, if you have glasses, you know, what do you do with these glasses? Do you put them down, or, you know, sometimes I put them like in my shirt, but occasionally I stick them on the back of my head like this, and somehow that, like, once it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and I forget where they're at. And I'm like, where did I put my glasses at? And one of my kids says, Dad, they're on the back of your head. This is the answer to this question of what is the joy of Christmas. Sometimes is right in front of us, and we just need to take the glasses and put them in the right place. What I want to do is I want to look at the song that we sang, Joy to the World, and look at what the joy of Christmas is. God's love is right in front of us, and it's here for us to understand and to grasp. That song, Joy to the World, starts out with, Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Now, why should it be joyful that the Lord has come? Well, here's the reason. Jesus, our Lord, did not treat us as we deserve, but he came to forgive us. Now, that doesn't sound very positive on Christmas, does it? What are you talking about, this whole joy, like what we deserve thing? Well, let me explain it this way. How many of you have brothers or sisters? You got brothers or sisters? How many of you, your brother or sister is your frenemy? If you're sitting next to them, don't raise your hand, okay? You know, here's a picture of my siblings when we were little. I have a very blended family, so this isn't all of my siblings, but this is some of them when we were kids. I'm in the middle there. Isn't that an awesome truck? Like, wish I had that truck. It's my grandpa's truck. And then my little baby brother, Rick, is to the right of me. My sister, Jocelyn, is to the left. And then my older brother, Danny, is there on the right. He's the one kind of climbing out. He's like, I got to get away from this brother, Tom. Danny and I, you know, we were best of friends, but also at times we were best of enemies. Your brother or your sister can show you the depths of human depravity, can't they? Back in the late 70s, we had an AMF low rider tricycle. Those of you who were around in the 70s, do you remember these things? The AMF low rider tricycle. I was looking for a picture of one online, and there's not a lot of pictures, but I did find this video clip of one just to give you a feel for what it is. There it is. So, do you know what movie this is from? The Shining, right? This is the only Christmas service you're ever going to come to where they show you a clip from The Shining. Bonus points if you know the kid's name. Here's a hint. It's the same as my brother, Danny. Danny, don't stop at room 237. Don't look in room 237, Danny. Just keep going on that AMF lowrider tricycle. Don't do it. All right, do you see those handlebars there? What are those made out of? They're made out of metal, right? This was like before plastic really took off. And one day I was pushing my brother around in the backyard, and I'm pushing him really fast, and he starts to yell, "Stop, Tommy! Stop! Stop, Tommy!" What does a brother do when his older brother tells him to stop? You go faster, right? Faster, Danny! Faster! Faster, Danny! And, you know, he got kind of fed up with this, and so he was the one steering. Remember that detail, okay? He is the one steering, and he steered himself into the shed in the backyard. Now, what happens when you're going really fast and you hit a shed on a tricycle that's got metal handlebars? You go, bang! You know, his head snaps forward, his tooth hits that handlebar, and it cracks his tooth. Now, whose fault was that, really, right? No, it was his fault. He's the one who was at the steering wheel, okay? Now, here's a picture of my brother that from this year and my niece, Lisa. And look at those nice pearly whites. Let's zoom in on those. There's that cracked tooth, all right? Now, there's a point to this story, okay? And let me tie it back into Christmas. Christians believe that unintentionally and intentionally we've crashed, cracked, and trashed this life. Now, you don't even know that you have to be a Christian to believe that, because we've all done it. We've all been there in that moment where our brother was saying, stop, stop, and instead of stopping, we went faster and faster. We have crashed, cracked, and trashed this life. Unintentionally, intentionally. You know, unintentionally, I wasn't intending to crack his tooth that day. But I was intentionally pushing him when he said stop. We crash and crack intentionally and unintentionally. Christians call this sin. And we're all familiar with it. We've all lied. We've told big lies. We've told little lies. Usually I tell more little lies. It's like, you know, just I tell the story to make myself look a little better than I would have otherwise. We've all cheated. We've cheated on our taxes. And now we have a new tax code, so you got to find new loopholes to cheat on, right? We've cheated at work. We were supposed to be working, and instead we were farting around, sitting on our tush, or whatever it was. We've sold our integrity to get ahead or to be liked. We failed as parents. Man, when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be better than my parents. Then I became a parent, and alas, that did not happen. We failed as children. We've crashed and cracked and trashed as kids. If you've been around here at Sycamore Creek the last year, you know that it's been a tough year for me and my family. My dad has Lewy body dementia, and kind of the situation came to a head several months ago. He really needed to be in some sort of facility receiving help, but he's like the J. Edgar Hoover of the Family Bureau of Investigation, and when you tell J. Edgar Hoover that they need to go to a memory care facility, it doesn't go well, okay? So it came to a head, and I'm having, I end up, you know, our tempers rise, and I yell at him, and he yells at me, and it was a nasty, dirty fight, and I went away from that feeling shame. It's like, here I am, I'm a pastor, I just yelled at my father with dementia. And in that moment, I crashed and cracked and trashed this life. Some ways intentionally, some ways unintentionally. We've crashed and cracked and trashed by neglecting the poor, by not speaking up for justice. Now, you're feeling pretty depressed right now, right? But remember, we're going to get to joy. And here's the joy. That Jesus came, the Lord came, joy to the world, the Lord has come, came at Christmas, not to treat us as we deserve. What is it? An eye for an eye and a cracked tooth for a cracked tooth. That's not what Jesus demanded of us. He said, I come so that you might be saved, forgiven, healed, and set free. We've got, whenever you come here and worship, you'll see this cross and the three arms of the cross. This is what we understand that Jesus came to do, save us, freedom. We're trapped behind enemy lines, and he went on a rescue mission to save us. Like a doctor who treats Ebola patients and contracts Ebola himself, he healed us. He forgave us. Like someone who sits in the guilty chair when they are innocent, he forgives us. Probably the most famous passage or verse in the whole Bible is John 3:16. You probably have it memorized, even if you don't come to church all that often. But probably in the King James Version. That's the old school English version. But let me put it up in a little more contemporary version. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Now, that's the most famous passage in the Bible, but I'll tell you what. The good news is actually, I mean, that's good news, but the really good news is the next verse, verse 17. Do you know verse 17? Have you memorized that one? Here's what it says. God sent his Son into the world. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, not an eye for an eye and a cracked tooth for a cracked tooth, but to save the world through him. That's the joy of Christmas, friends. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, not to condemn us, but to save us, to save us. So the next line of the song says, let earth receive her king. If the Lord has come, let the earth receive her king. Now, we don't usually talk about kings in our country, except when, like, there's a marriage going on over in Britain, and then Americans get really interested in the monarchy. But most of the rest of the time, we're not really interested in the monarchy, so kingship is kind of hard for us to grasp. So let's talk about superheroes. Who's your favorite superhero? Wolverine, what'd you say? Batman? I heard Wonder Woman. I think Wonder Woman is my new favorite superhero, but not for the most righteous of reasons. So I'm going to say the Minions. Which they're not really superheroes, are they? They're like supervillains. We dressed up as the Minions for Halloween, and you know, when I put on a Minion costume, or when I fake it till I make it, okay? When I put on a Minion costume, I don't really become a Minion, do I? I'm like a Minion on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still Tom. My son Micah is a Minion on the outside, but on the inside, he's still Micah. So when Jesus came, when the Lord comes, joy to the world, the Lord has come, he takes on flesh, but it's not like he just dresses up in flesh and then he's God on the inside. Christians believe that he's human through and through, and he's God through and through. So when he puts on the costume, so to speak, when he puts on flesh, the divine touches flesh, touches humanity, so that humanity might touch the divine. That's the miracle of Christmas. That's what Christians call the incarnation. God becomes flesh. The king takes on the role of the servant. We read John 3:16, but let's go back to the very beginning of the book of John. John tells the story in very poetic terms about Christmas. He says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John's poetic way of talking about Jesus is to refer to him as the Word. This is the words of God. And a little bit later on, we know this is Jesus because a little bit later on, John tells us that the Word became flesh and lived among us. But he starts out saying that he was God in the beginning. He existed in the beginning with God. And God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. You were created through Jesus. Jesus is your King, your Creator, the CEO of the universe. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every thought in your mind before it comes out of your mouth. And he loves you. And he made you for a purpose. You know, the creator of the AMF lowrider tricycle had a purpose for that tricycle? And it wasn't that you would crack your teeth on it. I'm pretty sure. Some guy didn't sit in a boardroom and think, how can I crack children's teeth? Oh, I know. A tricycle with metal handlebars. What was that created for? It was created for joy, right? And that's God's intention for you at Christmas. Joy. God's intention for you at Christmas is joy. Not a joy that can be stolen, but a joy that lasts forever. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. You know, Jesus stands at the door of our heart and he knocks. In fact, this is what he says. He says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we're going to share a meal together as friends. The Lord, the CEO of the universe, the creator, the Lord, comes and he doesn't lord it over you and condemn you and judge you. What's he do? He says, listen, let's go have a meal together. Let's spend some quality time together. This is the time of year when we give lots of gifts. And I'm not a big gift giver or receiver. But my thing that I really like to do, what's a real gift for me is quality time. I love to sit down with somebody and have a good long meal over good food. And there's not any moment that I look forward to more in my week than Friday nights is date night with my wife. We go out, we eat, we have good food, and we linger over it for 2, sometimes 3 hours. And we catch up on life, and we talk about our hopes and our dreams. We talk about the failures we had in the week and how we can not repeat those next week. And we chart a course together in life every night. That's quality time. Now, this past Friday night, I was at Buddy's in Holt doing one of these Christmas services. So I didn't get my my date night, but my consolation prize was after the service. I said to Jeremy, hey, you want to go grab a drink at the bar? And I did have a good time. He wasn't as good as my wife, but it was all right. And we sat and we had quality time together. You know, that was what that was really about. That's the picture that Jesus is painting here is a picture of a restored relationship with the Lord. Not one of condemnation, not one of judgment, but one of friendship. A friendship with God through his son Jesus, who took on humanity so that humanity might become children of God. That's the picture that Jesus is painting at Christmas. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. You know, there's the gift at Christmas is that you would open your heart and you'd receive that gift, that relationship with Jesus. And when that happens, Jesus says, when someone who has crashed and cracked and trashed this life turns around and goes back towards Jesus, the angels in heaven sing. That's what this line is about. In heaven and nature sing. When I say, listen, Danny, I am sorry. That was my bad. I'm not going to blame you anymore for steering into the shed, but I'm going to take ownership of my junk and I'm going to apologize for it. And I'm going to recognize that in hurting you, I also hurt God because you're made in the image of God. When that kind of turn happens in our life, heaven and nature sing. That's the gift of Christmas. I've heard that there's some stages of growing up at Christmas. I don't see any kids in the room here right now. I'm going to have to figure out how to say this differently tonight. Spoiler alert, okay? These are the stages of growing up at Christmas. The first is you believe in Santa. The second is you don't believe in Santa. The third is that you become Santa. And the fourth is that you start to look like Santa. This is the Christmas where it's time to grow up. To stop playing with tricycles and start making tricycles. To do business with the CEO of the universe. To receive the gift that he's offering to you. My son Sam, he's 4 years old. He brought home a little ornament that he made at Christmas or at school this last week. And yeah, it looks like an ornament that a four-year-old make. It's not going to like be in the Louvre for or you know the New York Art Museum or whatever for centuries. So I'm not necessarily the best gift receiver. I kind of have a flat face. But when your four-year-old gives you an ornament that he made at school, you got to lay it on thick, right? So he gives me this gift, and then I talk to him and say, Sam, this is an awesome ornament. Thank you so much for making this for me. And that's what we do with God. God gives us a gift, and we talk to God. Call that prayer. Say, God, thank you for the gift of joy of your son Jesus. Thank you for that gift this Christmas season. I'm going to put a prayer on the screen, and it's one way of talking to God. It's not the only words that you can say, but if you want to receive that gift of joy that God is offering you this Christmas, I just invite you to pray it along silently with me. I'm going to pray it out loud, and it's also printed in the notes in your program. Here's the prayer. Our Father in heaven, I confess you are God and I am not. Thank you for sending Jesus, Merry Christmas, to give his life to forgive, heal, and set me free. I turn away from my sin. I turn away from the places where I've crashed and trashed and cracked this life. And I ask you to forgive me. I open the door of my heart to receive you. Help me to live for you as king of my life, to make the changes that I know that I need to make. Thank you for real joy here and the hereafter. In Jesus' name, and all who wanted that gift said, Amen. Amen.